setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go, coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. I do know how to talk. Thankfully, we will get through the rest of the show if I can put all the sentences together. This is where we talk about you specifically, who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. This is a conversation that we find more and more that people just don't have in their life. And we want to bring this conversation to dinner tables, for heaven's sakes, to classrooms, so that we're not having these conversations with people going, I'm lost, I'm stuck, I'm not happy, no idea, I'm confused, to the answer of the age-old question, what should I do with my life? The answer is what you were born to do, what you were created to do, which is to use what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, passion, to accomplish results that matter to you, mission. When those three gifts, talent, passion, and mission, are in alignment, you're fulfilling your purpose. Multiple jobs, multiple career paths, even dream jobs. Think of those three gifts lining up, alignment, like a strong spear or arrow, and it's how you pierce the world and make your impact. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. All right. Last night was NFL draft, and I watched it. I love football. I think sports are easily the greatest laboratories for life lessons. And so I recently saw a video online of legendary Alabama coach Nick Saban talking about what he learned in his years in the NFL about how the NFL will review a player and decide whether or not they're going to take him. And so now, as the coach of Alabama, he's getting all these big-time recruits, and he's taking his NFL experience, what he learned about how NFL teams evaluate and eventually pick somebody. And so now he tells his players at Alabama, because they want to play football at the next level, obviously. And so he is answering a question here. You're about ready to hear an audio bite of him answering this question on how he, you know, prepares his young men for the draft. And I want you to listen to this, because this is an unbelievably beautiful analogy of how you move up, how you get promoted, and how people are selecting you for that opportunity or not. I'll talk more about it in a second, but here it is. Nick Saban talking about, are you an and player or are you a but player?
Well, again, this goes back to players creating value for themselves. I always talk to players about, you know, I spent 8 years in the NFL, so that means I sat through 8 drafts, which meant it's not just a draft, it's 2 weeks of preparing for the draft, and then 2 more weeks of getting questions answered, and then 2 more weeks of preparing for the draft. So I'm talking about listening to 1,000 draft reports. And I tell our players all the time, the 2 most compelling words in a draft report is and but. All right, so they read the player, and I'll take a defensive back. All right, he's got quick feet, change of direction, he had good long speed, can play man-to-man, he's a good tackler, he's got toughness, got really good ball judgment and really good ball skills. And he's a good person. He was a leader on the team. He graduated from school. Coaches loved him. Read the same player, but he had a positive drug test. He had a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend. Got in a fight in a bar when he was a freshman. Strength coach said he wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. Who do you want on your team? And or but? All right. So, what I tell players is you don't realize that as soon as you apply for a job, as soon as you put your name in for the draft, people are looking for reasons not to pick you. They're looking for reasons not to hire you. So don't give anybody a reason to say, but it's the only way that you can create value for yourself. So that and but what came after that had nothing to do with what the player was, but it had a significant impact on where the player got picked. So this is an analogy that I use all the time with players to try to get them to understand, how do I create value for myself in my future for what I want to accomplish?
All right, so we could sign off the show right there. That is enough gold for me to say to you folks. I don't even have to broadcast the rest of the hour. Now, we're going to. But I'm telling you, that's an unbelievably beautiful illustration. Are you an and employee or are you a but employee? Let me give you an example. He's a great developer. She's a great developer. Works fast, really talented, collaborates really well with the team. But, excuse me, that's the and, right? So they're really talented, works quickly, beautiful analytical skills and the ability to do this and this, and gets along with everybody, collaborates well, great attitude, team guy. Or, same exact thing, but he's a jerk to everybody. Can't ever say anything nice about anybody else. Nobody wants to help him. Nobody wants to be around him. Disrespectful in meetings, whatever. Because I've heard leaders at events stand up and say, hey, we got this unbelievable salesperson. They're crushing it. Crushing it. Great results. Cancer on the team. What do I do? And let me tell you something. He's exactly right. When you're in a job interview or you're up against other candidates, people are in a true selection process and they're going, who's the best? Who's the best? Who's the best? They're looking for reasons to go, yeah, this isn't the one. This isn't the one. They're just looking. And so we get these calls all the time. Ken, how do I leave an organization? You better leave well. Because that's going to catch up to you. People are going to check. You got to have good references. You got to have great relationships so that you're an and person. See, if you're stacking yourself up against other people in the job hiring process and everybody's got similar talent to you, what's the difference maker? Your references, people you've worked for, people you've worked with, going, I don't know that there's a better person on the planet than her. She is invaluable, not because of what she does, but because of how she does it. That's the and. That's what you want. Got all the skills and a great person. Got all the skills and tremendous integrity. Got all the skills and an attitude of adaptability. Got all the skills and super likable. Got all the skills and honorable. Or got all the skills, but what do? Game changer, young people. Game changer. Be an and person. After all the qualifications, now come the difference makers. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. The Ken Coleman Show continues to bring you clarity so that you can confidently step out on the path to your purpose. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Rebecca in East Brunswick, New Jersey. Rebecca, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Okay. All right. So I'm kind of in between career crossroads. Mm-hmm. And so my question is if I should look at an opportunity that came my way as a pathway to, let's say, transfer into my dream job, maybe 1 or 2 years, or should I continue in my job now since it's pretty steady and then see if something I actually want kind of opens up down the road?
Well, just to me, the way you set that question up, there's something behind the scenes that I need, but just for fun to play along, yeah, you should take the opportunity that leads to your dream job.
Okay.
Unless it's a bad idea. So you didn't give me any more than that. Tell me why you think, you might should not take it. That's why you called me.
Yeah. So my background is I went to school for interior design, and I kind of spent a couple years after college working for several different architects, hoping to kind of do space planning, staging, you know, home remodeling. I kind of didn't know it at the time, so I was just looking to build my career. And the last architectural firm job I had didn't go well. It was kind of a toxic environment. So I think I'm a little bit traumatized by that, and I feel like if I go into kind of like another type of design job, 9-to-5 type of job, it might just kind of end in the same thing.
Why?
So.
Whoa. Why? Okay. All right. Why? Why would you doing that work? This is an opportunity. Have you been offered?
Not yet. So I've been, right now I've been working in something completely different for the last 4 years.
No, I get that. I'm saying you called me about an opportunity, but it's not an opportunity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it or not?
It is, yeah. So it's an interior design assistant type of job.
But has it been offered?
Home staging.
Has it been offered?
No, not yet. I haven't. I've been thinking about applying.
Okay, but Rebecca, I can't give you advice on something that doesn't exist. But let's play along. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you apply for this and it gets you in back into the interior design field, that's where you ultimately want to go. Correct.
Yes. I mean, yes and no. So I don't want to be doing drafting all day. I want to be eventually like staging, planning spaces like with clients.
And that's the dream. The dream job is for you to be. Okay.
Right.
For yourself or for somebody else?
No, for myself. Yeah.
Okay. So how does this job that you haven't been offered, you haven't even applied yet, but how does an assistant, so this is an executive assistant role to a interior designer?
It's kind of. Like entry level
okay,
design.
So you tell me, how does that lead you to your dream job? Because that's your assumption. I'm not saying you're wrong, but tell me how it leads to it.
I'd probably be getting to know like the market a little bit better in terms of like working, like organizing, managing, following kind of like a process.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my talent.
Yeah, getting paid to actually observe and learn about the thing you want to do for yourself.
Right.
Okay, how much money would this job pay?
So they didn't list it in the job description. They said commensurate like with experience.
How much do you make now?
Probably about like 37.
So it would need to make 37 or more.
Or more, right.
Okay. So if this job makes you 37 or more, and if they offer it to you, yes, you should do it.
Okay.
But the only reason you've given me as to why you shouldn't do it is because you got into this field kind of sort of before and it was a toxic environment. And I don't want that to happen again. Rebecca, what's your relationship status?
My relationship status.
You married?
Yes. I'm married 4 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how long ago before this Hubs came into the picture, how long ago did you date? How long ago was it?
Probably about like, we knew each other for like several years and then.
Never mind. Poor question. Poor question.
Long story, but yeah.
Listen to me. Do you remember dating in high school?
Yes.
Did you ever have a boy hurt your feelings or break up with you?
Yes.
Well, what did you do? Did you say, I'm never going to date again? Or did you move on and saddle back up?
Yeah.
See my point.
Yeah.
Do your homework. If they offer you this job, find out people who know them or find out somebody who knows somebody that works over there and find out if it's a toxic environment. Ask them questions in the interview. How would you describe the culture here?
Okay.
Do some homework. Find out if it's a nasty place. But just because you worked in a toxic culture before doesn't mean that you're destined to always work in toxic cultures.
Right.
All right. The boogeyman's not always around the corner looking to hit us. All right. You got this. Keep moving forward. Of course you should take it if it puts you on the ladder. Folks, let's simplify this. Ken, I don't know if I should take the job. Okay, great. I'm happy for you to call me, but this is what it boils down to. Does it put you on the ladder you need to be on? Does it allow you to stay the same or go forward financially? Is it a healthy culture? That's it. Those three questions. Do it. I mean, just do it. Like, and again, I get it. I'm teaching here because we start going, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? I mean, look, I got a kid who's going to be driving a car. So this is my first 15-year-old going into 16. All right. The only way I know how to explain the psychology of what a lot of you are facing that won't call in the show, so I'm going to coach you up. I'm terrified if I allow myself to think a lot about my son driving. I just am. I've never done this before. I imagine that when Chase comes along, I'll be more chilled. And then with Josie behind them, I'm probably going to be even more chilled. But this is my first time. He's not even there yet. It's November. Thank God. It's not even here yet. But I mean, when I get him in the car for the first time and he's without me and he's driving, I'm terrified. If I'm honest, I mean, if I'm thinking about all the things that could go wrong when he drives away, I would be an absolute basket case. That's not what I'm going to choose to do. I'm going to pray that God protects him. I'm going to hope that he makes good decisions. And then I will deal with what I must deal with when it comes. Am I right? I'm looking at some folks out there. I mean, you've been through this before, sir. You've been through this. Is that about right? Because I've never been through it. He's giving me the thumbs up. Or else you're a disaster. You can't do it. What are you going to do? Like, it's kind of like, look, they're going to do something stupid. I remember running into several things and having to call my dad. Thankfully, my dad didn't say, well, that was it. You're done. It is the cosmos has revealed to us that you are never to drive again. So you worked in a toxic environment. I don't know if I should go back into that kind of work because there were some mean people. Sound like a Muppet, don't I? Now, I'm not making fun of Rebecca. I'm saying Rebecca is in the same place that millions of people are. I get that you got hurt. I get that there's a wound there. Heal. If I have an open sore on my arm and I touch it, whoo, that hurts. Ouch. But I'm going to go get it fixed. I'm going to go get healthy. I'm going to do what it takes for that wound to heal. When it heals, if there's a scar there, I can look down and see the scar and go, oh gosh, I remember how painful that was. And I could do one of two things. Oh, I don't ever want to do that again because I fell off the bike and got a big old mess on my arm and blah, blah, blah. I can't do that ever again. I skinned my knees so much as a kid, I probably spent half my summer night sticking to the sheets. I didn't stop riding my bike. Folks, moving forward guarantees there will be challenges and pain. Get up, dust yourself off, heal, and get back in the game. It's too important. Remember, this isn't about you. It's about what you're supposed to do for others. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming up. Welcome back, America. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. So you need to stop looking at work as, well, I just do this to be able to live. No, you ought to start living to make that contribution that you were created to make. And through your work is a big way to fill that contribution. I think it's relational and I think it's professional. And certainly all of that comes under a spiritual soul craving that we all have. I don't care if you don't think there's a God or not. I just don't buy that you don't lay awake at night and somebody goes through life and never asks the question, is there more? What am I supposed to be doing? See, that's that longing that nobody has to teach you. Nobody has to teach a kid how to ask why. Nobody has to teach a kid how to steal a toy from another kid. And nobody has to teach you to wonder what you're supposed to do with your life. And I've got the answer. You ready? High level, you're supposed to use what you do best to do work you love to produce results that matter deeply to you. There it is. Pretty darn simple. Now all you got to do is fill in the details. Use what you do best, talent, hard skills, soft skills. Do work you love. What's the work that you look forward to when you think about it? What's the work that you don't want to stop doing? You're devoted. High emotion, high devotion. Think of a task, a function, a role. Has nothing to do with money or notoriety. You just love the work. Third, what are the results that matter to you? What are the results you want your work to create? You want to create efficiency? Do you want to achieve? Do you want to create solutions? Are you all about creating things? Are you wanting to serve? Or do you want to influence? It's a combination of all six of those, but some more than others. When we see how this all comes together, it's like, oh, wait a second. This has got to make sense. I'm supposed to use what I do best to do what I love to actually accomplish things that matter to me. Huh? Nobody talks about that way. We do here on the Ken Coleman Show. So welcome aboard. 844-747-2577. Zach joins us in Sioux City, Iowa. Zach, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I just wanted to call in and say thanks. My son graduated in college in May of 2020. He took a job out of college. It really just was not that fulfilling for him and meeting his needs financially and just in general for work. So I got him your book, The Proximity Principle, and then signed him up for the online Get Hired event. And he read the book prior to that and ended up getting with a HR representative from a company that sponsored a project they did in college. He's a mechanical engineer. And he got with her, ended up applying for the job, got a first interview. And during the interview, they asked him if he had taken a professional interviewing course. And he kind of laughed and said no. And then right the night he watched the live stream event and everything, had already got selected for a second interview. And then the next day he did the interview after your live event. And then just yesterday he was offered a job at double what he was making at his current employer. So he ended up accepting that. So I just wanted to say thanks. And
oh,
I think your program is awesome.
Wow. I got goosebumps all over me. That's so great. Why did they ask him if he had taken a professional interview course?
Well, I assume he's a good kid, hard worker and all that. And just, I don't know if it was the way he was answering the questions. He's a young guy.
Yeah, he was performing
fairly fresh out of college.
Yeah, so he really
went in confident.
Yeah.
Wow, he did, and
that's great.
I think a lot of it was thanks to your program, and I just wanted to express my gratitude to you.
Thank you, brother.
Father, it made me happy and proud of my son.
Oh, big time.
I think what you guys do works for people, and I've turned him on to your podcast and Dave's and hope that he takes all that to heart and continues down that road.
Well, what is his name? I'm going to give him a shout-out, and so they will podcast this show a little bit later this afternoon. Tell him to listen in. I want to give him a shout-out. What's his name?
Blake.
Blake, let me tell you something. You just heard your dad. He's very proud of you. And he just told a lot of people how proud of you he is. He's a good dad. So why don't you give Dad a big hug tonight? He loves you. He's poured into you. But I wanted to tell you that I'm proud of you, buddy. That's a new word, by the way. Brother and buddy together. Bruddy. See, Zach, see, even professional broadcasters, we say things, we make mistakes sometimes, we just keep rolling. But man,
there you go.
I'm proud of you. You crushed it, dude. Way to go, Blake. The best is yet to come, man. You're off and running. I applaud you for digging in and saying, this college job I had coming out of college, it wasn't right. I got to go after something else, and that sets you apart. So, Zach, congrats for your son, Blake. Blake, I'm proud of you. And, Zach, thank you for sharing that story. That's really good stuff. I could run through a brick wall right now. And, by the way, I do think there's something there on that bruddy thing. Just kidding. I sometimes like to say stuff and watch y'all's faces behind the control room, folks. You got to understand, they're all really good folks. Amanda, Joe, and Madison, they're kind of like, and Madison has no problem rolling her eyes at me. But when I throw something out there like that, sometimes all of them will go, okay, let's see where he's going with this before we shoot it down. And that I couldn't even come up with anything. I couldn't even make the case for Bruddy.
I thought to myself, is this a battle I really want to fight, or do I just let him have it?
If I ever say Bruddy on purpose, we need to shut the mic off and go to a best of and get me some medication. That's my official statement on that. That was a joke. But that is fun. I will tell you a fun story. Early on in my career, real quick, fun story. I was booking speakers. I was booking professional speakers. And I'd been on the job 3 days. And so I had to call Mike Singletary for to check and see if he was available for this date that I was trying to book him for. Well, I didn't ask, should have, but I just assumed that I was going to get his assistant. So I go into the database. I see Mike Singletary, one of the greatest linebackers of all time, very intimidating guy. Grew up watching him play, so I'm already nervous just thinking I'm going to talk to his assistant. He answered the phone. So I think I'm going to get some assistant, and this is literally what happened. Hello? I was like, I mean, I froze, Joe. Because it hit me really quick. I'm talking to Mike Singletary, you know, and I was a mess. So I recover enough to have a coherent conversation with him, ask the date, and so we get done, and I say to him, all right, we're winding down, and I said, hey, I'll let you know once I hear something. He goes, great. Give me any extra details that you don't have, and that'll work. And I meant to say okie dokie, okay? And it came out okie Grady. And I just threw it out there, okie Grady, which isn't even a thing. And he's like, what? Or he may not even pay attention. He just said goodbye. And I literally heard the click on his end, and I went, I just told Mike Singletary, okie Grady. It's kind of like okie dokie meets okay, right? And I was just mortified. It happens.
It happens. I do the people tell me like, enjoy your meal. And I go, you too.
Yeah. And they're not even eating. Yeah. They just gave you the meal. Yeah. The waiter comes up to you. All right. Enjoy the meal. You too. No. Don't sit down next to me and enjoy my meal. Yeah, I know. But that's not as, in, you know, like we all do this stuff at work is the point, and you just roll with it, you know? I haven't even told you this. We have about a minute left. I'll share some embarrassing work fails. Okay. I've been doing live radio, Joe. How long have I doing radio now? What am I at? 8 years, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Logged thousands of hours. All right. The other day I was co-hosting the Ramsey Show, which I will do today. As soon as I'm off here, I'm going 5 hours straight. It was a Friday. I was mentally tired. And I open up my show with a very specific open. I say live from Ramsey Solution Studios in Nashville, and I do my own thing. Well, you know, Dave's got his legendary open to what is now called the Ramsey Show, and I've never said that open because it's his. He's a freaking icon. So I have my own open that I will do over there. And it's somewhat similar, but it's different. So I was coming back from break and opening up the segment, and I opened up the hour, and I mixed both openers, and my brain just shut down. I froze. Not in panic, because I wasn't nervous, but I was just like, I can't believe I just did. And I just looked at John Delaney, and it was like silent for 5 seconds. Everybody thought, man, he's off his meds. No, my brain just got confused. It happens. What do? You keep going. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues, helping you figure out what you were born to do. And then we're going to help you come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. The dream job is alive and well, I promise. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. 2577. Jen is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Jen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Hi. I love your show.
Thank you. How can I help?
I'm looking for some advice today. I work for a small family-owned company. It's financial-based, so it's really technical and fast-paced. I am not a member of the family. And most of the family members who work there are really good at their jobs. They're self-motivated. But in the last 3 or 4 years, they've hired 3 ladies that are just toxic and incompetent and lazy. They don't share the same values that the rest of the company stands for. And, you know, normally I'd say that's your business, you know, do what you want, but their work affects my work. I've been there longer, so my work is more technical, and their work comes to me with inaccuracies and incomplete and a lot of times late. I'm not their supervisor, so I don't have a lot of power, but every day it's a struggle. I have to decide if I'm going to have this difficult conversation, which I try not to come at aggressively, but or just do it for him, which is exactly what he wants me to do. But it's getting really tiresome, and I don't know how to deal with it.
Have you brought this up to their leader and your leader?
I have. My boss and there is the same as their boss, and he's more of the accountant than a manager, and he's also not a member of the family. And I can tell he's frustrated, but he just kind of shrugs, and sometimes he just thinks, oh, it just takes care of itself, and that's because I take care of it.
Yeah, but so how many times?
He's not a big help.
I get it, but how many times have you guys had this conversation?
Well, we joke about it every day.
Okay, that's terrible. And, so you know what this is. You two value each other, I'm guessing. You guys got a pretty good relationship?
Yeah, we're pretty good. I mean, I'm frustrated with him because he's
not
the manager, but yeah.
But I mean, this is okay, so here's what you do. You either decide to move on because he's not handling it, or you have a come to Jesus meeting with him where you say, you got to handle this. If you don't handle it, I can't keep doing it, and let him interpret that however he wants. But he needs to hear that you're done, not a threat, not threaten him, but just go, we've talked about this. We're joking about it. You've expressed frustration with this same thing. You actually are the leader. Yeah. You can fix this, but you're relying on me to fix it. I can't keep doing it. It's frustrating. It's adding more time. It's not fair to me. Will you fix this? And if he doesn't,
he's scared of one of them.
Yeah, he is. But my point is would he rather be scared of them, or would he rather lose you? What do you think?
I think he'd rather be scared of them than lose me, because I do all the work. So.
Well, then you better make it very clear to him that you can't keep doing it. And you just have to say, you don't have to be ugly about it and threaten him. You just go, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
This isn't healthy. You're the only person in here that can fix this. I can't keep doing it. I keep solving the problem. I brought it up to you, and you're not doing anything, and it's hurting me. It's not fair to me. I can't keep doing this. I won't keep doing it. Now, that's one way to handle it and see how it reacts. The other way to do it is not deal with it and just go, I don't think he's ever going to do it, and so I'm going to move on. But either he fixes it or you move on. Those are your choices. Am I right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're not going to keep, no, don't go, I mean, you don't want to keep doing this way. So either he fixes it or you leave. Those are your two options, yes or no?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I'm your coach.
So,
I'm not trying to make you feel good about this, because there's not much to make you feel good about. I do think that if you really show him that he's got a choice to make, then he will do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've seen weaker leaders. I've seen weak leaders like him lose a great person because they're so daggum scared. I wish I could get him on the phone. I'd fix his wagon pretty quick. This is a leadership problem. No, I'm serious. I don't mean ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put him in a corner.
Oh,
he is acting like a pathetic, scared little boy. And this isn't about masculinity. This is just him acting like there's a monster under the bed, and there's no monster under the bed. He's weak. So that's it. I mean, that's why you called. Look, you get to decide. Approach number one is you push him into a corner and he has to make a choice. You've not made him choose yet. And so that's the issue. All right, Joe, we love to do this on our Friday shows as we wrap up. We've all had some mishaps at work. I just shared a couple last segment where you're live on the air and you just inevitably say something that doesn't come out right or your brain freezes for a minute. It happens to all of us. And we have some fun with this. We like to call it Funny Work Fails. All right. So this one is from a receptionist who is confessing that she took a customer call at work that was asking to be transferred to someone else on the team specifically. But I was handling all of that work alone at the time, so I transferred the call and then picked the call back up and pretended to be someone else by switching to a British accent. Now that, it sounds like the rest of the call went well. She didn't give us any more details as to how that went. But I must tell you, a lot of moxie there. You know, I need to practice the British accent, I think, for a good 60 seconds before I picked up. Maybe she did. But it appears as though the customer was none the wiser. I guess we would have gotten more of the story had it gone poorly. So there you go. Very, very interesting choice there. Because, I mean, why not just send them a voicemail so they'll call you back? No, she decides to take on a British accent. Maybe she was watching Downton Abbey at the time. I don't know. We'll never know. Oh, boy. This one's awkward. One day at work, I was trying to dodge my boss as I knew he wanted to talk to me about a work issue that I was in the wrong for. I was at my reception desk, and I saw him walking towards me. So in a panic, I picked up the phone and pretended to make a work call. As he came over, I continued to pretend to talk to a customer and even gave him gestures implying that I would catch up with him soon. As he was beginning to leave, the phone rang.
Busted.
Yikes, that's awkward. There's no recovery from that, folks. When you are faking a phone call to your boss and then the phone rings, I think you have to look at your boss and go, I need help. I need help. I need counseling. I'm an awful, despicable human being. It's the only recovery there. You've just been, you talk about caught red-handed.
Yeah, you could say it was a phone malfunction, but no, nah, he wouldn't believe it.
Nobody believes that. This is my favorite. This is from somebody who witnessed a gym instructor leading a yoga class on board a cruise ship. As we are all aware of, the staff on cruise ships, I didn't know this, Madison and Joe seem to know this, they work really, really hard and party even harder. So while everybody's sleeping on the boat, I guess these cruise ship crews are going bananas and partying hard. So they are basically during the day They're hungover and exhausted. So anyway, this gym instructor is leading a yoga class on the cruise ship and goes into the child's pose, which Madison had to teach me earlier today. Actually, you didn't teach me. That creates a funny image. Oh, yeah, Ken and Madison are doing yoga in the halls at Ramsey Solutions. No. Anyway, child's pose, I didn't know what it was. It's basically like a sleeping position. So the guy is clearly hungover and exhausted, goes into the child's pose, and stays in it for 20 minutes, and nobody said anything. They all thought, well, this is an extended child's pose. Guy fell asleep, drooling and snoring. And last, in the big awkward category, a teacher reports that she filed sick leave and took the day off to go chill out on the beach, and she saw one of her students on the beach. We both made eye contact, nodded at each other, and realized we were both skipping my class. Oh, boy. I hope that kid walked up to the teacher and said, I guess I'll be getting an A+ with zero homework or having to take any tests the rest of the year, because that's what I would have done. All right, folks, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.